We wanted to, with all these kind of oral health things happening in our lives, we wanted to check to see what the link was between, if there's a link, really. We kind of already assume there is. Our hypothesis is that there is, between oral health and overall health. So we looked up a couple articles, and we really become... Well, the first one I came across is had some scary statistics. It's actually from 2015. In the United States, the oral health of older Americans is in a state of decay. 1/4 of U.S. adults 65 years or older have lost all their teeth, and 1 in 5 people of any age has untreated dental caries. And then it says, in low and middle income countries, dental diseases constitute a neglected epidemic, and rates are increasing. In quantitative terms, oral and dental diseases affect 3.9 billion people worldwide.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. We actually, we're going to jump into the listeners talk back section real quick because last week's episode was with Johnny Crowder. He's the creator of Cope Notes, the mental wellness text messaging service, and hopefully you guys listened to that episode. I actually teach his mom kickboxing and boxing, and she came into one of the classes this week and said thanks for the shout out on the episode.
Oh, that's so cute.
So that was a direct listener's talk back. She said she loved the episode, so she was very proud. She's always very proud of her son, and as she should be. So
yeah. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And we might have some fun for you guys and actually kind of cool with you guys involving Cope Notes in the near future. So stay tuned for that. This week's episode is something that has been kind of, I think, very pertinent in our lives as of late. And like you said, you mentioned before we started recording, it's one of your greatest fears.
Oh, gosh.
And that is oral health.
Well, so, oral health isn't my greatest fear. That's but not fair, having... But. Teeth problems is one of, it's not like my greatest fear ever, but it's, I have nightmares about it regularly. I'm right. Sure that says something and somebody could say, but it's like too close to home.
But don't worry, we'll just get into some scary statistics during this episode. But now we want to jump into our training recap, and I'm going to throw it over to you because we got a lot to recap.
I don't know about a lot. I have an accomplishment, which I think is always great, after many, many weeks of probably not really having a whole lot, but, I actually managed to do some kind of movement, we're talking like at least 10 to 15 minutes every day during the work week. So 5 days this past week. I did some kind of movement, and I did get on the Peloton. I did do one of my power zone classes because I am in that training program, and I have to say it was easy. Like, not easy, but it was challenging, but I still felt like I could take more after half an hour. So I probably could have gone for like a 45-minute class and been totally cool with that. But I am very, very happy for just having accomplished that little goal. Like, I knew it was very unrealistic for me to say I'm going to get a 30-minute or 45 minutes of yoga or biking or anything in. So my biggest struggle has just to get back into that mode of moving every day. Mm-hmm. And... you know, pushing myself a little bit every single day. And I did it. I did it, and I'm really, like, I feel good. I feel, my body just feels more together when I move regularly. So that was my big accomplishment, I would say.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like the fact, like you said, that you did your power zone training and it wasn't even that hard. I think you said you could go for an hour if you really had to.
I could have, yeah. Nice. And I mean, it's you push yourself for a while, But it definitely left me like I was energized and I felt like I could have done easily another half an hour.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Before getting wiped out. Yeah. Thanks.
That's super impressive because, you know, this week I got back into a little bit of training, got a couple strength training sessions in, got a good couple rounds in on the bag. I actually put it up on ET Tampa's Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. That was pretty cool.
So, yeah, so I got to do that and got a nice little workout in today because I had a couple late cancellations for my clients today, so I got in a workout, which was super nice.
Schedule changes.
Yes, and I got to do a lot more mace training. So got to do some mace, swing the mace a lot, which is something obviously you guys learned. I did the mace education class, so now that's a regular part of my repertoire. So I'm using a lot for strength training, which is good, and which I really need to get back into because it makes me feel good.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to. It's making sure that you're doing the things that are going to allow you to live your best life and improve not just your physical well-being, but your mental and emotional well-being as well. I think movement is a really, really big part of that.
Yeah, I really wanted to incorporate it this week. You know, obviously I'm going to do it every week, but I wanted to get back to it this week because, you know, I've been dealing with a little bit of a health issue, and it's kind of related to our main topic, you know, oral health. I actually finally went to the doctor this week. I've been dealing with it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And got diagnosed with this, and we're going to try to pronounce it right now, okay?
Oh, you actually have a diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
So, we're going to give this a shot. I'm going to go first, then Shannon. And I even heard the doctor say it, so I admit I have a little bit of a leg up, but I tell you, I can't. Aphaseris stomatitis?
APH. I would say...
Because PH is F, right?
Yeah, but would not... I don't know how it is in front of it.
Aphaseris?
Aphthous stomatitis?
Mm-hmm. Basically, I have canker sores in my mouth, and it sucks.
That does
like,
suck.
I don't want to, like, I've done a pretty good job not cursing on this podcast, but I'm about the point to tell you how bad it blanking sucks.
Well, it's also referred to as mouth ulcers,
yeah.
Which
awesome,
that
right?
Sounds super.
So the
super
good,
miserable.
I guess the good thing about this is that it's non-communicable. Did I say that right? Non-contagious. How about I just say
it's
that?
It's not contagious.
There we go.
That's the big point.
And they say it's benign, non-contagious mouth ulcers. Well, they're not benign. They're far from benign. They're a pain in the ass. But even better is that there's really no, like, defined cause. There's multiple causes. Stress could be one.
And just to clarify in case, like, you... I was like, well, what the hell is the difference? It is not a cold sore. It is a canker sore because unlike a cold sore, a canker sore doesn't occur on the lips and it's not contagious. So just thought I'd insert that clarification.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, there's not a lot of – it's self-treatable, but there's not a lot of medications for it. Like I got – some weird cortisonal dental paste. And then I went to the other doctor and he gave me probiotics. So,
which is probably a more holistic way to treat it.
And the way he explained it, and I get it, that he said my bad bacteria was kicking the crap out of my good bacteria. So I get that. And, you know, I can see where that could cause issues like this. I think it was kind of a perfect storm of a little bit of everything with the stress, with the, you know, the bacteria imbalance. But it's going on 3 weeks and it's really getting irritating to say the least. So, like I said, I might have to go in and see an oral specialist, surgeon, but like, you know, a dentist and see what else I need to do because, you know, I just bought some antiseptic mouthwash today, see how that works, some Ambisol. So, it's just a pain in the ass, and I just really want to get it over and done with. But this is, like I said, kind of why we picked this topic this week, in addition to Ella going to the dentist.
Oh, yeah. Ella had her second dentist appointment. So she had her, she had one 6 months ago, was her first, and this was her second, and she did awesome. I really wish that I could go to this dentist because it's amazing. It's like going to the dentist on a tropical oasis with mermaids.
Yeah. It's a pirate magical. Dentist, right?
It is. It's, it's, there's a actual, like, what is the front of a ship called?
Bow?
Yeah. There's a bow of a ship in the waiting room.
Wow.
And that's you impressive. Can go in it, and it, like, like there's a little, like, wheel and stuff.
God, I gotta make one of these dentist
appointments. I know. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. The floors are covered, so it looks like ocean, like wow, you're walking that's cool. in water. There's an arcade. There's a movie viewing room. Every single chair has a TV screen above it so that the kids watch a movie while they're getting their teeth cleaned. I mean, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And they were, I think they were watching Smurfs or something. Mm-hmm. So thankfully I was just able to talk to Ella about the movie while the doctor was cleaning her teeth. And the doctor was like, she's great. She's like, she's fantastic. I was like, thank goodness for the Smurfs.
Yes.
But yes, that was a big like win too, because she had all of her teeth. She has the only teeth that she's been waiting for probably a good 3 months. Mm-hmm. Like she's had all of her other teeth for like 3 months. She's been done. Mm-hmm. And the teething was a real biatch. But after reading this article, like, it's nothing compared to what could happen.
I know. So, like I said, we wanted to, with all these kind of oral health things happening in our lives, we wanted to check to see what the link was between, if there's a link, really. We kind of already assume there is. Our hypothesis is that there is, between oral health and overall health. So, we looked up a couple articles, and we really become... Well, the first one I came across is had some scary statistics. It's actually from 2015, and they talk about some worldwide statistics, but they also talk about in the United States, the oral health of older Americans is in a state of decay. 1/4 of U.S. adults 65 years or older have lost all their teeth, and 1 in 5 people of any age has untreated dental caries. I guess caries might be the issues. Ugh. I think that's might be. Is this from
United Kingdom? Gosh, this so creeps me out on so many. It's the American Dental Association.
Yeah. So, and then it says in low and middle income countries, dental diseases constitute a neglected epidemic, and rates are increasing. In quantitative terms, oral and dental diseases affect 3.9 billion people worldwide, and leave a legacy of substantial morbidity and functional deficits among older adults. This is kind of a summarized article, and they have footnotes linking to all the statistics, but we're not going that depth. But I think just reading this gives you an idea where we state are of oral health around the world. Another scary statistics or fact is that severe periodontal disease was the 6th most prevalent disease in the world. I'm going to try this word. Endotheliosis, an effective marker of population of oral health, affected 150 million people worldwide.
Edentulousness.
Also, one that's a little bit easier for us to understand is oral cancer was the 6th most common cancer in the world, accounting for an estimated 400,000 to 700,000 new cases and 127,700 deaths annually.
So there's a lot of numbers you just said. So basically, it's ridiculously common. I mean, look at your friends and family. Mm-hmm. Especially like the generations, I think like, our parents and above. Dentures was kind of like an assumption, I feel like, for like our grandparents' generation. you were gonna get dentures. Did you ever wonder why, though? Because I swear, until I got older, I just thought you get old and your teeth fall out. And mm-hmm. that's, like, that's just a given. Like, it's not disease. It's not anything like that. It's just your teeth fall out. You're old. Everything falls apart, right? No. Mm-hmm. That's not actually it. It's, like, it's the sophistication of, like, oral care that has increased over the years, mm-hmm. our access to insurance and regular professional assistance, and just awareness on the habits of, like, hygiene. But I think every member of my family that I know of has had some kind of dental work done.
Right.
Whether it was, you know, they had decaying teeth, they had, like, you know, I mean, a lot of people have cavities, right? And you get the cavities taken care of so you don't get a rotting tooth. But, I mean, I know that, like, I'm pretty sure my dad has fake teeth now.
Yeah. My mom had dealt with the same situation, even though she, you know, she was really good about her dental health. It was just, like, kind of one of those...
It can be genetic predisposition, yes, too. So. You can just have soft teeth. You can just... I mean, I had really deep grooves in my teeth when I was, like, a kid, when my permanent teeth came in. Mm-hmm. And the dentist said, like, that's a genetic thing, and that's going to mean, like, your risk of cavities is super high. Bless my parents. They actually had, a filling put into those deep grooves so that I didn't get... Like, I haven't had to have cavities. Like, I haven't had any cavities in those teeth at all, or, you know, in general. But it's because they did that. Like, that option didn't exist for, like, our grandparents or probably even our parents. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, as you mentioned, it's kind of it's availability so common. To oral, like, dental care is one of the issues, especially in lower income countries, but especially in this country, a lot of people not seeing the importance of how it can relate to overall health. And we found another article from 2017, and it was written by, as you said, a dentist, so it was a little bit biased, but this article connected oral health and rheumatoid arthritis. They also talked about... I know, sorry. I got my juicy mouth right now. In this article, they also alluded to the fact that states within the United States in which adults were more likely to visit dentists also tend to have the lowest proportion reporting fair or poor health. So they really looked at several articles that are several indicators of why oral health is important to overall health. They cited an analysis of a National Health Insurance Claims database showed that newly diagnosed patients with diabetes who also received periodontal intervention had lower average total health, medical, and diabetes-related costs over time. So, in diabetes, in this article, they actually talk about in this article and the previous article, is the number one, I think there was... The number one, like, as far as healthcare-related costs is treatment of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. These are all non-communicable diseases, and that's going to be a topic that we're going to relate into our next article we're going to discuss. But a couple more significant points of evidence about how oral health is related to overall health is that many medical conditions can be first observed intraorally, wow, I guess at the dentist, right? Which provides an avenue for early diagnosis and treatment. The use of screening processes to identify systematic disease indicators during the dental care encounter has grown over the last decade.
Okay, can I just jump in something?
Yes.
So, in ancient Chinese medicine, and Ayurveda, something that we know is over 5,000 years old. This is like the most common sense statement ever, because the tongue is actually used when you go and you see like my mom is an acupuncturist, or if you see someone that practices either of those medicines or those sciences, they're going to ask to look at your tongue, and you're going to look at them like they're on crack. And you're going to say, why do you want to see my tongue? Because your tongue says so much about your health. So we're talking about how this article and all of these studies are saying, yes, your oral health is actually tied to your overall well-being and health. It's been seen and used that way for thousands of years. And we, as like, I feel like a general population of the world who've kind of not paid attention to some of those ancient medicines have kind of forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I read a little bit about like the tongue analysis they do in Ayurveda. And first of all, I wouldn't want to actually look at someone's tongue that close. But when there are like problems, they show up on your tongue first. Mm-hmm. Like that is like one of the places your body just expresses its pain. So if you're at all like doubtful of this, I mean, like this, all of this research and everything that we're reading is absolutely supported by thousands of years of medicine and the fact that people that practice those forms of medicine, this was like how they were able to say, oh yeah, you got this going on in there and you got a little bit of this over here happening too. I don't know if they said it that casually, but something like that. So just putting that in there, I know we're talking about deep science and all these studies and things, but my alternative medicine background, there you go.
No, I agree. And I mean, I think looking at it from many different avenues or different
perspectives, I guess
through lenses, yeah, and perspectives is a good way to go about it because, you know, I think we've talked about the benefits of both Western and Eastern medicine and both the approaches and how an integrated approach can probably have the most positive effect. So these articles are great because I think they really highlight the importance of oral health and they give you indicators of why it's important to overall health. And I think people need to, when you talk about universal health care, it's a big topic, especially in this country. I don't know. I hope it is. I hope dental care is included in that idea.
I really hope so.
Because that's a huge part of it. Because like you said, it's not only because, and I think it's a huge emotional kind of, has a huge emotional effect on you, how your teeth are.
Well, your appearance of your teeth, for yeah. Sure. I mean, it's from like a self-esteem and, you know, body confidence factor. Most people would say that your teeth and your face are things that people are going to see first mm-hmm. and probably judge you based off of.
Right.
And it's having your teeth fixed is probably one of the most common things that people have done. Like,
yeah.
I had crooked ass teeth. Actually, I had a big gap. I mm-hmm. didn't have crooked teeth. I had a big gap between my two front teeth after my teeth came in. And I had to have a ton of dental work done yeah. to like bring it in and then straighten them out. And oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we highlighted it in, and I think you probably already assumed it, but I think if you were asked a question, is oral health important to your overall health? Hopefully most people would say yes, but it's still a lot of people aren't making.
They're not going every six months.
I hear crazy stories, and I mean, it's mostly, I shouldn't say hear a ton of them, but people talk about not going to the dentist for a decade.
That's terrible. I didn't have dental insurance for 3 years. I didn't have dental for like 3 years just because I worked at a very low paying job for a while. And I was terrified that my teeth were going to fall out. Mm-hmm. Like, more terrified, I think, than any point in my life. It was awful. When I got my new job, the first thing I did was start looking up dentists.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
I remember my first job out of college. After I left, I went and did an independent contracting job. So I didn't have any health insurance. But I was able to use Cobra to keep insurance well, my medical insurance was like something like crazy, like $300 a month, but my dental insurance was only $60 a month. So I was like,
and it I'll is. Keep it. Yeah, it is.
I had to keep it for 18 months, and that kind of carried me to my next place. So, yeah, and I remember having it and having, you know, using that and had to get cavities when I was in Colorado, but or filled cavities. So it's super important, guys. We want to hit that. Take care of your oral health, for goodness sakes.
It's not just that. It's not just, you know, like your parents telling you, oh, make sure you floss, make sure you use mouthwash. Mm-hmm. Like, your mouth is a main entry point and exit for your body. It is also a place that, you know, is like a central location. You consume food through your mouth. As Nick has, you know, rediscovered.
Oh yeah.
How horrible it is to have anything wrong with your mouth.
It's
absolutely miserable, and it drastically impacts the rest of your mental and physical health. So take it seriously. If you haven't, if you've been putting it off, after you listen to this podcast, please let us know that you went and you made sure that you had an appointment with your dentist on the books.
Yeah. I think it's good. Like I said, this is should be common sense. We shouldn't be surprised about when we hear stories like this or where we talk about topics like this. And our next story kind of is the same idea. Like, you brought this story to my attention about, basically, it is...
It was all over the news this week. Mm-hmm. This is like, I think I heard it 3 times in one day.
Yeah, so it was basically, it's the article's headline is, bad diets kill more people around the world than smoking study says. So this was, it's funny how you texted me. What you texted me, we were talking about podcast topics, and I was like, you said you were like, I saw an article about how diet is important to overall health. I was like...
You're like, and we talk about that every week.
I'm pretty sure we've covered that.
To death.
But then there's this article came out, and it was about a study published in the Journal of Lancet, which we've talked about or referred to many times on this podcast, and it looked at people's eating habits across 195 countries and estimated how much poor diets contribute to mortalities. And what did they find?
They found that 11 million people die each year around the world because, at least in some part, certain foods or the lack of are impacting their health.
Yes. So they kind of had several main culprits to what you are eating or what you aren't eating that is causing this mortality around the world. So they said the three biggest problems are, it says, the study estimated globally that 3 million deaths were attributed to too much sodium, but another 3 million deaths were attributed to a lack of adequate whole grains, and another 2 million deaths were attributed to a lack of adequate fruit.
So you know what this tells me?
What?
All those carb-free diets out there, it's really not really something that this article is saying should be a huge focus.
They say they contribute. You definitely should have some fruits and vegetables. We should also mention in this article, and they do say they do a good job, is that the results are based on limited data and assumptions, but conclusions are consistent with major reports from public health and medical authorities. The researchers are recommending a plant-based diet. So that's – and I like that idea, and we talked about it, and they say it in this article about how, you know, the Mediterranean diet is kind of like the number one go-to diet. It's heavy with plants and fish and, you know, olive oil and nuts and things like that. So I'm a big believer in that too. I think there's, you know, there's diets that are like the low carb and, you know, carnivore diets that eliminate carbs altogether. There's some research behind that, especially for different, like, treating different diseases, especially with, like, keto and whatnot.
We're not going to go into, like, specific diets and how those are good or bad, because really what it comes down to is that everybody is different.
Mm-hmm.
And so while some people you know, might do really well on a high protein diet where it's, you know, a large volume coming from animal products. Many people, I would say, are going to fall more into a category where you need like just a really healthy supply of fruits and vegetables. And the other thing that I'm not sure if they're really taking into consideration, or actually I know they're not, but is the fact that foods like, you know, the plants and things that were available 100 years ago or 50 years ago are no longer in existence. Like almost anywhere on the planet, the nutrition like density of the foods that are, we call healthy, you know, the plants-based foods, their nutrient value has dropped. Yeah. It's declined over the years because we've had so much like mass agriculture and depletion of basic nutrients in soil, and we've just, you know, done such harm on general environments and things like that. So, I mean, that might also be contributing to the fact that people, maybe they're consuming less, but maybe it's not as less as we think. But maybe it's the fact that, oh yeah, we're just not getting the same volume of nutrients from the foods we eat.
Yeah, they talk about that in this article about how artificial ingredients and processed foods have just become, have just exploded over recent decades. And I mean, I don't know how much that's associated, I'm going to go on a tangent, but like with the population and whatnot, and how they're easier and cheaper to make. So that's why the people are more kind of drawn to them.
Well, that and they're loaded with sodium and sugar.
Yes, that too. And there you go. And then that's,
they're addictive.
We're, not only are they addictive, but they're cheap. So they're got a double, you know, people are attracted to them two times just because of cheaper and addictive. So it's an issue that, and they talk about, like, in the title about, is it more dangerous than smoking? Well, everybody has to eat, but not everybody smokes. So, right. In theories, bad diet can lead to basically some of the biggest non-communicable diseases, number one being heart disease, the number one killer worldwide, and obesity-related, you know, causes, and which results from poor diet, can definitely affect that.
But I think what they're saying in this, it's not what you necessarily even, it's not all about what you do eat. It's a lot about as well as what you don't eat.
Yep.
So it's consuming too much sodium, but not consuming enough fresh fruits and vegetables and like nuts and seeds and all these other plant-based things. So just like looking, I think all of these diets and mindsets that we have about how we think about stripping things out of our diets when we're trying to get healthy, I think this article kind of shines a light on the fact that maybe as much as we look at removing those things that are not good for us, we also really need to figure out how to infuse our day-to-day with more of those nutrient-dense foods that are, like, plant-based.
I agree.
So, and the nutrients in an apple from 50 years ago are not the same as now. So, God only knows how many apples you have to eat to equal that.
That's true.
I love apples.
And, you know, it's a shame that, like I said, with all the kind of environmental degradation and then processed foods and stuff, like I said, nutrients have really gone down in quality and content in all of our foods. So, you know, it's even more important now than ever to eat quality food more regularly than non-quality food.
You know?
So we've had many podcasts discussing, you know, the different types of food, different, you know, intermittent fasting, yada, yada, yada. But overall, eat high quality food in the wholest form that you prepare at home. I think those are always kind of guidelines that we always want to promote because we believe that's kind of the key to having proper nutrition.
Yes, and I will say that I think that the options to add the good foods, those healthy foods, you may have to be a little bit more creative. You may have to spend a little bit more time educating yourself.
Yep.
But they exist out there. The resources, there's so many YouTube channels now. The dinner I made tonight, that was a vegan dinner.
Ooh.
When I think about it,
yeah.
That was completely vegan. Ha ha ha. You ate a vegan dinner and didn't even know it.
Oh, I knew it.
You knew it?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until just now. But, yeah, I mean, we had this very luscious, like, pretty rich pasta dish that was basically...
Veggies.
Mm-hmm.
It was delicious. Speaking of delicious, we have got some delicious giveaways coming up for you guys.
Oh.
And you guys need to pay attention. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to give that away for you guys. We're going to give you all the details for those giveaways. So pay attention to the podcast. Also, pay attention to ET Tampa Instagram. We'll give you more details on that so you can find out about when those giveaways will be getting underway.
Yeah, I'm excited because guess what? I don't even know what they are yet.
There you go. All right, so you got anything else for them this week?
No.
All right, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast. We'll check in next time.
See you.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks. I can't say. Can you say this?
Just show me where it is, because I don't know.
Rheumatoid arthritis?
Rheumatoid.
Okay, let me try that. Rheumatoid.
Arthritis.
Arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis. Connecting oral health and rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry. It only took a few times.
I know.